Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Summer! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is a very good evening to you and AB at 9:05, 45 seconds to go right along with it. On a Thursday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. Peter Hoffman, Antonio Grillo, they on the other side. 1-877-337-6666 for a final 1 hour schmooze. Right up until Peter McCarthy and Pete coming your way at 10 on your fan, New York City. And on the fan right now coming our way, Charles Davis. And once again, more than happy to have Charles on. And he, along with Kevin Burkhardt, they will be doing the World Feed broadcast of the Super Bowl on Sunday for NFL Films. And Charles, I understand it's number 7 for you. We cannot get enough of you, and probably for years to come you'll be doing with the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Here's hoping. it's been a blast, and I'm fortunate this year because Bob Papa normally does the play-by-play. Mm-hmm. But you know, Bob's resume is pretty diversified as well, and he's in Morocco with the senior golf tour.
Okay.
And won't get back in time to do it. So they asked Kevin if he would do it, and I was more than happy to hear that since I'm lucky enough to partner up with Kevin during the year. So pretty cool for us. I think this will be his first Super Bowl. It may be my 7th, but it feels like my first every single time I do it, and I just consider myself fortunate.
Oh, yeah. And so will the viewers and listeners to you and Kevin. Those who will be able to listen and watch, there's no question. So the viewers get the benefit of you and Kevin. Let me, before we get into the two teams, halftime, is there, I'm understanding now that there's going to be something done to honor Kobe Bryant. Anything you can tell us about that?
Yeah, I've heard the same. I have no idea what all the details are that go with it. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, you know, Kobe Bryant will be honored. But we also lost an NFL Hall of Famer, Chris Dolman,
yep,
just a day or two ago,
yes,
as well. And yep, I actually played against Chris in college. And, you know, lucky enough, I didn't have to try and block him very often. I played against him on special teams, and he would just decimate people when it was normal offense and he was playing on defense. But, mm-hmm, yeah, we lost one of the greats there, and I'm sure that the NFL will make sure that his name is mentioned as well in whatever type of tribute they plan to do. But I have no details on it, but I'm not surprised at all. Kobe Bryant has just transcended not just the sports world, but just everything worldwide. I mean, I saw Alex Ovechkin wearing number 24 in warm-up skate the other day. And, you know, he's touched people in ways that maybe they haven't actually met him or whatever. But a lot of people have said, well, I love the way he played. He inspired me no matter what the sport, no matter what the profession. And we're seeing an outpouring of that at this time during this really, really awful time for him and 8 other people.
Yes, well said, Charles. And not only because of the kind of player he was, but what he has been involved with, what he had been involved with since he retired, with women's basketball, with film, writing books for children, and turning into a very user-friendly father and husband, I mean, and user-friendly with other NBA players, with advice and counseling. He was turning into really a good Samaritan. It's a tragedy for sure. All right, let's start with whom I think is the best player of the two teams, and that's Patrick Mahomes. A comment.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. What Patrick Mahomes is to the NFL now. Maybe it's not the best analogy, but I hope people will understand it. Mm-hmm. For those who were around when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were hitting all those bombs, and, you know, we didn't know about, you know, the enhancements and everything else, mm-hmm. but by God, we were captivated, weren't we? Mm-hmm. And we were always captivated by power pitchers. I remember I got to see Nolan Ryan pitch in his 40s at the Metrodome in Minnesota, and I can still hear that glove smack, and I hear him grunting when he threw, and I was mesmerized. Roger Clemens at that time, same type of player. What I mean by all that is those are the people you bought tickets for. Those are the people you turned out early for. Patrick Mahomes is that guy. You know, he's a rock star. You go out early to watch him throw. You know, your kid's with you and what have you. And by the way, it's not just the kids, it's the adults. If you have binoculars, every move is on Patrick Mahomes to see what he does next. He's magical. And then he plays above and beyond that level as well once he's out there. And what he's done in this playoffs has been off the charts. Heck,
well,
I just read this stuff. How about this, Steve? 142 throws he's made now in 4 playoff games. Zero interceptions.
And no fumbles either.
No fumbles, 11 touchdown passes. And now he's added the extra dimension of running the ball more than he did in regular season. Now, part of that was the knee, you know, and the injury he had had. Mm-hmm. But what he has done in the playoffs running the ball, and by the way, 2 comebacks in the playoffs this year, 10 or more points down.
Right.
He's brought his team back.
Well, 24.
He's doing it all.
Yeah.
24 against Houston, 17-7 against Tennessee. He is that guy. And look, on the opposite side chasing him, Nick Bosa's that guy too that you turn out for and you say, I want to see this guy play. And that rookie has more than delivered. This is going to be a blast on Sunday.
I'm going to say, Charles Nick Bosa could be rookie defensive player of the year. And I think early in the season, he could have been the defensive player. He's not going to be able to catch Patrick Mahomes, mark my words, Charles.
This is going to be a blast to watch and see how they try to attack and corral. And here's the thing. Earlier this season, and I'll be real quick on this, Detroit, believe it or not, a 3-12-1 team, gave Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs fits in the passing game, really messed up their timing. They didn't hit him that often. They didn't get him on the ground that often. But if you look back at his stats that day, he was somewhere around 50%, which is very low for him. And they were off by a hair the entire time. Mm-hmm. Found a way to win because that's what good quarterbacks do. They're like good pitchers without their best stuff. On their day where they're off, they find a way to fashion a drive that wins, and he did on their last drive. But Detroit gave him fits. And look, if you can't get him on the ground, can you get him off the spot and make him throw it at a count too late or a count too early?
And here's another thing with him. He can create a play when the original play breaks down and what he could do with the running. How about that 27-yard tightrope run, that tap dancing down the sideline? What did Tennessee think, that he was going to go out of bounds, Charles? He did not.
And I think that's part of what has stirred up a bunch of the conversation recently about how do you actually attack these quarterbacks now? Because so many times they actually do tightrope the sideline, and they go out of bounds. And there's almost like a brother-in-law aspect to it. I won't hit you if you just go out of bounds. Where you get in trouble is if those quarterbacks do that. And this wasn't on Mahomes' run, because on his run that was different. But you've seen it, Steve, where they go to the sideline, you think they're going out of bounds, and they get an extra 5 yards on you. And that's when the defender says, okay, if we're going to play that game, next time I'm just going to blast you into the fifth row, and let's see where it ends up. But with Mahomes, they were so stunned when he cut back inside. And I thought one of the tacklers, the biggest problem he had was he tried to rake the football instead of securing the tackle. And that allowed Patrick Mahomes to run through him and pass him and into the end zone. It was scintillating. I think it was 42 yards he actually covered for an official 27-yard touchdown.
You know, as you touch on, with them being down 24-0, and then they were down 10-0 and 17-7, as you pointed out.
Yep.
If they get ahead, and I'm sure, obviously, they would love to do that, and force a little bit more passing than running from the 49ers. I say advantage Kansas City. And I'm not saying the 49ers won't be able to run the football. I think they will. I don't think Mostert is going to run for 220 in another four. But give them somewhat of a running game. But if the Kansas City, and depending on where we are in the game, if they get themselves out in front by, say, two scores, whether it's 10 to nothing, whether it's 13 to 3, whatever it may be, and the 49ers have to use Garoppolo a little bit more than they want to, I say advantage Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think conventional wisdom would suggest that as well, because I think about Jim Valvano during these times where he would say, I am not letting the best player beat me. And in football, we always think of Bill Belichick taking away what their best player can do and forcing others to beat you. Well, conventional wisdom tells you, you can't let them just run over you. They ran over Minnesota. They ran over Green Bay. Jimmy Garoppolo got to throw out of the rocking chair. Okay, so we understand that. You want to put the ball in his hands as opposed to getting shredded in the run game. But I do caution people to say, okay, go back during the regular season. There were times when, not that they couldn't run it, but they needed to throw it more, and Jimmy Garoppolo delivered. The New Orleans game at New Orleans, go watch that one. They were down a couple of scores. He helped bring them back with some big, big throws, some big plays downfield, and then the biggest play of the game, we will always remember George Kittle on the catch and the run and the face mask and, you know, full, you know, Kittle mode downfield. But that was Garoppolo on the throw. Easy, it appears to be an easy throw. How many times have we seen people miss it? Put it on him on a 4th-and-2, no trace of nerves. I saw him bring him back late against the Rams late in the season where they had to kick the game-winning field goal, and he did it. All I'm saying is he can do these things, but if you're Kansas City, what would you prefer? I'm taking my chances with Jimmy throwing it as opposed to letting them run over me in on the ground.
And you just touched on something that with the Kittle – with his yards after the catch. And to me, that inflates Garoppolo's numbers because you're right about New Orleans, 4 touchdown passes, but how many yards after the catch by the Samuels and the Sanders and the Kittles? And then against the Rams, converting 2 3rd-and-16s. But again, it was with yards after the catch. And that does inflate Garoppolo's numbers because against Green, I mean, what, Minnesota, they ran the ball 47 times. You look great handing off against Green Bay. They ran another 42 times. Again, Garoppolo looking great handing off, throwing only 2 passes of the 6 for 8 that he was, only 2 passes in the second half. So he's looked great handing off. And I'm thinking, if Kansas City can just contain, not stop, but contain the 49er running game, advantage Kansas City because of Garoppolo. And again, unless those – and why? How is it – explain to us, Charles, how those receivers get so wide open?
Well, you know, a couple things come to mind on it. Look, San Francisco will not mind at all if Garoppolo throws it only 8 times again, because that means they're controlling it on the run. Bob Greasy's in the Hall of Fame through 7 times and 1 Super Bowl win.
Right.
Okay. Earl Morrill won an NFL Player of the Year with the Baltimore Colts at one point. He did something similar in the playoffs. Okay. Terry Bradshaw mentioned it. You know, my colleague Terry Bradshaw said, I was 8 of 11, won Super Bowl throwing the football. He's in the Hall of Fame and won an MVP. So this can happen if your team is constituted that way and you're dominating someone. The flip side of it is those yards after catch are built into a lot of offenses. New Orleans is like that. Kansas City is like that. San Francisco is like that. And how do they do it? Well, you have to have that combination of quickness. You have to have that combination of route running. You have to have that combination of toughness where you can run through attempted tackles, not just, you know, as soon as you catch the ball, that guy tackles you and puts you down. That elusiveness factor. You're talking about 2 tight ends in this game, both of them 1,000-yard receivers, but they're both tight ends capable of making people miss as well in the open field, at Travis Kelce for Kansas City, George Kittle for San Francisco. You know, Deebo Samuel looks like a running back after he catches the football. Mm-hmm. People bounce off of him, mm-hmm. and the yards after catch happen. So, Steve, if you look at their numbers for the year, both of these teams create yardage after the catch, mm-hmm. which is part of what they do. The tough part is there's a struggle, especially on Kansas City's side, believe it or not, to get people down in the open field. San Francisco has the same thing. You would think both sides would be a little bit better equipped for that since both of their offenses do it. But both of them struggle doing it as well because tackling in the open field, that's a tough deal on anyone. But almost every great offense you see in the NFL now, yards mm-hmm. after the catch mm-hmm. is part of the offense that you don't talk about, but it's almost a tacit, hey, I'm going to throw it five. We're going to end up with 10 because our receivers aren't not going to be tackled on the mm-hmm. spot. And that's how they operate. Now, if you tackle them on the spot, you'll see those offenses struggle a little bit because first downs are now second and sevens, third and fives, and that accumulates throughout time if you can tackle well in the secondary.
Where are the 49ers weak? Secondary?
I would say that overall, you just wonder if how much man coverage they're going to play. See, I wouldn't play a ton of it with Patrick Mahomes because you got to keep your eyes back towards him. You know, you're not going to have a spy and take him out of coverage, but you want those guys in zone, seeing the ball coming towards them because remember that first touchdown he threw against Tennessee, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
To Tyreek Hill?
Mm-hmm.
The coverage was good, but the defender had his back turned. And if Patrick Mahomes right. sees the back of your helmet, he's going to throw it to any receiver he has because he considers that receiver open because that receiver will make a play on the ball before you can turn around. Plus, with the zip he puts on a football, the idea that you're going to read a receiver's eyes and get your hands up when his hands go up and knock it away is almost folly. He throws it too well, too accurately, too fast. So a lot of times you're going to want to play zone against him to be prepared for the runs, but more so to be prepared to have a chance to try and react on the football as opposed to man coverage. You have almost no chance to react as accurate as he is.
And where is Kansas City the weakest?
Run game, the defensive run game. I mean, numbers have been better in recent weeks because Chris Jones has played well. Mm-hmm. Derek Nnadi plays well inside, and people don't give him a lot of credit for it. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, and Daniel Swords have tackled very well from the safety position. They have played better, and what they did against Derrick Henry was really impressive. He starts out with 61 yards. He finishes with 69.
Right.
That was really impressive in what they did. But if you're San Francisco, you've got to test that. You've got to test that over the long haul. You don't just take four or five runs at it and go, oh, well, we gave it a shot and just start flinging it around. I test that over four quarters to see if that truly will hold up. Because for the season, those numbers aren't that great. I think they're 26th against the run. Yeah, they've been better the second half of the year, mm-hmm. but I'm still testing that with that great offensive line I've got if I'm San Francisco.
By the way, you mentioned Sorensen. How great was that open field tackle against Houston on the fake punt that didn't work? What was O'Brien thinking?
Well, if he doesn't make that tackle and Houston continues to have momentum, it's a bigger uphill battle back for Kansas City. It's a very alert heads-up play by him. I think Bill O'Brien was trying to roll the dice there. I was much more okay with that one, Steve, than I was when he called off going for it on fourth and short.
What kind of coaching was that?
I think after the ball game, he answered the question, said the fair question.
Yeah.
Personnel, this, but I think if he had to do it over again after the timeout, he would have gone for it there. You had to go for the big shots with Kansas City because, as we've seen, they have an incredible ability to come back. 24 down in a playoff game, no one's supposed to come back and win that one. That's just that, you know, if that had been the Super Bowl, we'd be putting up there right next to 28-3. Patriots coming down from back off the pace against Atlanta. That's how big of a return it was for them.
Yeah. We're talking with for a few more minutes, and happy to have Charles Davis with us, and Charles and Kevin Burkhardt are going to be doing the world feed, and for Charles, Super Bowl number 7 for him and Kevin Burkhardt, and they will be doing the world feed for NFL Films with the Super Bowl coming up. Andy Reid. All right, he's gotten himself to the Super Bowl, looking to win the biggest of the big ones. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. You mentioned Atlanta. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons when they blew that 28-3 lead on New England. Who wins on Sunday?
Well, when you have games like this, the number one pass defense in the league is San Francisco, going up against this really hot passing attack.
Are you sure, Charles, with Richard Sherman, when they don't throw his ways over the hill?
If you look at the numbers for the season, San Francisco ranks number one.
Oh.
So when you're just looking at it off of raw numbers, and yeah, they're going to test him. I mean, this is a track squad coming at you now. Mm-hmm. He's going to get tested. On the opposite side, I would expect Emmanuel Mosley to get the start, the undrafted free agent out of Tennessee. He's played way better than Akello Witherspoon and has taken that job. Mm-hmm. So he'll play. Kawan Williams is an underrated nickelback for San Francisco. Okay. So you're going to see a number of different coverages in there. But what I'm saying is, by raw numbers, the number one ranked pass defense in these games, all right, in Super Bowls against these high-flying passing attacks, they're 9-4 for the defense. It's one of those weird things where you always think to yourself, offense, 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 and then can the defense make any type of a play? Patrick Mahomes can take you, throw your statistics out. He can make you do that. I get it. Mm-hmm. I lean towards San Francisco slightly because of what I've seen out of that. But I'm just saying, I've seen too much of Mahomes to sit there and get really confident about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think we've got a heck of a game on our hands. I lean towards San Francisco by 1 point. For no other reason, I'm an old defensive back that believes that defense can find a way to make one play, and let's see if they can do it on Sunday. Wouldn't surprise me if they couldn't, because Mahomes is just special.
And who has the better special teams?
Well, the way the kickers are kicking right now, Gold is really getting back into his groove. I would say that what I would be most afraid of is the return game of Kansas City with Mecole Hardman. That young man is a flat-out sprint. Richie James is good for San Francisco. But Hardman's going to the pro. He went to the, you know, he was a Pro Bowl vote in as a return specialist as a rookie. And those guys can just make a dash and go. And don't forget, Tyreek Hill will be back there. Remember how Anthony Carter wouldn't do it during the regular season?
Yes.
And then come playoffs, he would be the primary return guy. Tyreek Hill will also get some opportunities as well. Hopefully, try and break it open.
Okay. And Hardman, by the way, not just with the special teams, he catches passes.
Catches passes, runs the football. Remember, Kansas City's run attack isn't just Damian Williams in the backfield. Okay,
right.
LeSean McCoy was a healthy scratch in the AFC Championship game. It is, as you pointed out, Hardman running the ball, Tyreek Hill running the ball, Sammy Watkins running the ball, Travis Kelce on shovel passes and wildcat plays running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They supplement the normal run game with their exotic stuff. And that's hard to deal with.
And we know that if they fall behind again, Kelce is going to fire them up, Charles.
One thing about Travis, he's one of my favorite players in the league, and I told someone this recently, because he is the most consistent guy. Every time you see him, he is the same guy. He is not an act. What you're seeing is Travis Kelce through and through. But if he thinks that he has hurt someone that he cares about or he has let someone down, He is as contrite as a 5-year-old in his apology and is sincere in it. And then he picks himself up and goes on forward again and goes back to being Travis Kelce, one of my favorite players in the league.
And maybe Kansas City, Charles, and we'll let you go in just a second. Maybe Kansas City wins this game because D. Ford lines up in the neutral zone.
I have a feeling the D. Ford is going to be checking and then double checking on that. And the best pass rush San Francisco has is when D. Ford comes off the bench and pairs with Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner inside and Nick Bosa on the other side. They're hoping that that 4-man pass rush can give Mahomes fits, and that allows him to keep 7 in coverage.
They are not going to catch Mahomes, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching them try, because that's going to be the big part of the game. And let's just say the chase will be on about 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday night in Miami.
Charles, have yourself along with Kevin, and let Kevin know that everybody here at WFAN says hi, and we hope you and he have a great game. That's a terrific line of NFL films. Very, very happy. World Feed, the former player, terrific analyst, Charles Davis. Can't thank you enough. Have a great game. Have fun, Charles. And I hope more sooner than later we get a chance to do this again.
Sounds great, Steve. Always a pleasure to chat with you. I will pass that on to Kevin. I can't wait, and he'll be real happy. I can see the big grin on his face now when I tell him his friends at WFAN say hello again. He's so proud to have worked there.
And we were proud to have him already. And, of course, he taught us everything we know.
he's one of the best. If, you know, he's one of the best. For me, he is the best. I'm crazy about that guy.
Have
you
a great game. Yeah, have a
Thank
great
you,
game,
Steve.
Charles. Thanks, Charles. Charles Davis. With Fox and he and Kevin.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.